I'd like to thank you for joining with us on this Easter weekend. Celebrated Good Friday yesterday, and today on Saturday we're remembering our Lord resting in the grave. And every Easter, it's basically you get to tell the same story. And for some reason, I keep looking for different angles to present it so that it's not boring or repetitive. I made this message for April 17th of 2022. I entitled it Easter First Fruits. Our scripture text will be out of Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 14, and John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And then in Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 22. So deciding what to do and how to do it for Easter was challenging for me. Resurrection is a really big deal. This year I was preparing for a Passover Seder event up at Camp Adeline, and it got me thinking this way. My outline, Easter First Fruits, point one, the spring feast of first fruit. Point two, Yeshua is the one stalk of grain. Point three, our union with Christ. So, the spring feast of first fruits, Yeshua is the one stalk of grain, and our union with Christ. So, the feasts of Israel are categorized in two ways, the spring feasts and the fall feasts. The spring feasts start with Passover, then unleavened bread, then first fruits, and then the Feast of Weeks. So those are the four spring festivals. And Jesus has fulfilled all of those. Then in the autumn feasts, there's the Feast of Trumpets, and the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. So these three fall festivals are yet to be fulfilled. But one day there will be a trumpet sound, and there will be a Day of Atonement for all of our lives. And then there is a time when we get to camp with, tabernacle with, Jesus for 1,000 years. Passover, let's start there. We remember this as Good Friday and the death of Jesus. That's how we Christians celebrate Passover. It's the death of Christ. And Jesus' death is a historical fact. Growing up, Good Friday was a holiday and you didn't have to go to school because everybody recognized the reality that Jesus did die on a Friday. Unleavened bread, we remember that as Jesus' sin-free sacrifice. The home must be cleaned of all leaven, and that's food with yeast in it. And leaven in bread, like sin in people, tends to puff them up. So the unleavened bread represents a body that is sin-free. First fruits, we remember this as Easter. The Easter celebration is the festival of first fruits. It's an offering of one stalk of grain from the spring harvest. The Feast of Weeks, the 49 days after Passover, we remember the Feast of Weeks as Pentecost, and that's God's giving of His Holy Spirit to us, and the birth of His church began at Pentecost. So the autumn feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths, Jesus isn't done with these yet, so we just have to patiently wait to celebrate them with Him. But He will fulfill these last fall feasts sometime. So an overview. All the festivals teach about a personal relationship with God. They are a rehearsal, a practice to help people understand a personal relationship with God. How we walk with Him, how we grow in our knowledge of Him, can be enriched by understanding these feasts and festivals that God has set up. All the feasts teach about a personal relationship with God, from being a baby believer to being a mature believer. So that's the intent of the festivals. So let's start with Easter, first fruits. The spring feast of first fruits is your point one. Why should I care about the festival of first fruits? Why should I care about that? Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 11 reads like this. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, when you come to the land I'm going to give you and you harvest grain, bring the priest a bundle of the first grain you harvest. He will present it to the Lord so that you will be accepted. He will present it on the day after Passover." That's the end. So the fulfillment of that is what we are talking about. He will present the Lord so that you will be accepted. He will present this grain offering so that you will be accepted. And he will present it on the day after Passover. So where is Jesus on the day after Passover? Well, he's in the ground. Why should I care? Does the Feast of First Fruits mean anything to me? All the festivals are at the same time both historical events and prophetic events. They are real things that happen to show us what God is planning. God created these rehearsals to show us what he's planning to do. You don't have to have a book to read. If you practice the festivals, you will understand what he wants you to get. All the festivals teach about the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. These are and have always been meant to reveal the truth about the deliverer who is coming. From the time in Egypt to the time when they crossed into the Promised Land to the time of Jesus' final event, these are all meant to present the truth that there is a deliverer from sin coming. And from Eve to Mary Magdalene, people have looked for him. And it's interesting that in the garden, after Adam and Eve sinned, God gives Eve, the woman, a promise that from her will come the deliverer of the sin that she has committed. There will be a person born without a man that will come all from a woman, and he will be the one who delivers his people. And then the first person that Jesus meets on Easter morning is Mary Magdalene. So Mary has a sordid past. She has been involved in sin. It's interesting that God made his promise to a lady who had just sinned, and then Jesus came back and met with a woman who had sinned. Interesting. All the festivals are agricultural in context. Why is that? Well, God's design, his pattern of planting and then tending and harvesting the lives that things grow, gives us his illustration. That pattern of planting a seed, tending it, harvesting it, that is the illustration that God wants us to understand of our life with him. So A on your outline, the first historical event of first fruits was the passing of the Red Sea. The first historical event of first fruits was the crossing of the Red Sea. So first and Red Sea are your three blanks. The Hebrews had celebrated the first Passover in Egypt. Then they left Egypt. Passover was the promise of a blood sacrifice to allow God to pass over sin. The Passover lamb and the unleavened bread were a promise given. The blood sacrifice would be the one who had no sin, represented by the unleavened bread. The people were delivered from the bondage of sin. Then they need to be delivered from the attack of their enemy who had kept them captive. The Egyptians were chasing after them, and they come up to the Red Sea. The Lord parted the sea and collapsed it on the Egyptians and destroyed their enemy. B on your outline. The second historical event of first fruits was the crossing of the Jordan River. The second historical event of first fruits was the crossing of the Jordan River. So your three blanks are second, Jordan River. For 40 years, the Hebrews wandered in the wilderness. Because of their lack of faith, all the Hebrews wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all the unbelieving men had died. Well, that's all but two, Joshua and Caleb. In all those years, they did not celebrate Passover or any of the seven feasts or festivals. So, as they came and camped near the Jordan River, they circumcised the next generation of men. Then they celebrated Passover. And the next day, they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land of all the good things. I was at the Jordan River, but I was there in the fall. At that time of the year, it's about the size of our Alcorn Creek. And I have a picture of that on my PowerPoint. In the spring, it's much larger because of the spring rains for the crops. And it also was interesting that there were Jewish young people camping near the Jordan River. And that was surprising to me that they lived there next to the Jordan River in tents. We read a book this year called What God Wishes Christians Knew About Christianity, and it's written by Bill Gillum. And in his book, he has a diagram of a Jordan River cutting a page in half and running down to a Dead Sea. And on the one side is the wilderness, and on the other side is the promised land. And as the Jordan River flows, it comes to a city named Adam. And then there's a segment of the river, that Jordan River, that is called the Death River. And below that is the site of the crossing. And I was at the site of the crossing, and I asked the young people if they caught fish out of the river and ate them. And they said, well, no, there's no fish in here. I said, really? Oh, yeah, we're too close to the Dead Sea. There, fish don't live here. I thought, isn't that interesting? There's a part of the Jordan River where the salt water gets up, and so there's nothing in there that's living. C, the third historical event of First Fruits was when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. The third historical event of First Fruits was when Jesus was baptized in the river. So your two blanks are third, baptized. Jesus was baptized in the descender of Adam. That's what the map I'm trying to explain to you has to say. The river flows past a city named Adam, and the Jordan River is named Descender. That's its translation. Jordan means descender. And the Dead Sea at the end of the river contains no life. So the segment of the river that flows past the city of Adam is a descender to death. And from the city named Adam flows a river named Descender, which ends in a sea named Death, and that's where Jesus was baptized. He was baptized into Adam, into the Death River segment, into the death of Adam. The last historical event of First Fruits was the resurrection from the dead. The last historical event of First Fruits was Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the first of a new creation of mankind. Jesus came up from the ground like a new plant would. Why should I care? Do Orthodox Jews still celebrate this feast? No. They no longer celebrate the feast of Festival of First Fruits. When did they stop doing that? After Jesus' resurrection. Why did they stop doing that? Because it was so abundantly clear to them that the timing of Jesus' resurrection, his death and burial, fulfilled these Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruit festivals, that they just stopped doing them so people wouldn't figure it out. Well, when did the Hebrew writing font changed? There is a massive change in writing, and that was after the resurrection. Why is that? Well, the old Hebrew style of writing was done by drawing a picture. They called them word picture for a word. And these pictures revealed the truth of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So from the beginning of Moses' writing up until the resurrection, it was completely clear when you read about Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, by looking at the pictures that Jesus was the one who fulfilled that. But the Jews in power did not want that to be, so they just changed the whole style of writing to do away with those images that showed the truth. Any good lie is worth hiding, I guess. So, point one on our outline, the spring feast of first fruit. Second point, Yeshua is the one stalk of grain. So, an explanation of the feast of first fruits. Farmers were to take one stalk of grain to the temple. A on your outline. Farmers were to take one stalk of grain to the temple. You have four blanks. One stalk of grain. B on your outline. The one stalk of grain is offered on behalf of the whole harvest. B, the one stalk of grain is offered on behalf of the whole harvest. And your three blanks are whole harvest. So you have one stalk of grain for the whole harvest. C on your outline. This was done on the day after the Passover lamb was sacrificed. This was done on the day after the Passover lamb was sacrificed. And your three blanks are day after. So you have one stalk of grain offered for all of the crop, and it's done on the day after Passover. Now, Jesus is the Passover lamb that was sacrificed. He died on the cross. Jesus is the one stalk of grain offered for the whole harvest. In the illustration, God created one single stalk of grain, made the whole harvest accepted. That's the truth that he wanted us to see about his son. That's us. We are accepted because of the one stalk of grain, who is Jesus. Yeshua Jesus is the Messianic fulfillment of Passovers and first fruits. So, trying to help you understand the timing. Jews start their day at moonrise. We would call it sunset. Jews' day, month, and year are calculated by the moon. Gentiles do it by the sun. So when you're thinking about Passover, first fruits, and these festivals, you have to think about them in the timing that God designed. God actually set a calendar based on the moon. Then Gentiles come along and we built a calendar based on the sun. And you can judge for yourself whether the way God said to do it was the best or the way man said to do it is the best. But I think if you think about it, the way God set up is the correct way. So, Yeshua was sacrificed at 3 p.m. That's the end of day one. At moonrise or sunset, that's the end of a day. Passover started at 6 p.m. that day. So the lamb was sacrificed at 3 and dinner was at 6. And that's the start of day 2. The Feast of First Fruits is started at 6 p.m. That's the start of day 3. Jesus, the Yeshua, was resurrected from the dead 6 a.m. on the third day. That's the way it works. The grain was offered on the day after Passover. Jesus rose on the day after Passover. So, can you see that the Yeshua was and is the one stalk of grain offered for the rest of us? In John chapter 20, the first 8 verses read like this. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary from Magdala went to the tomb. She saw the stone had been removed from the tomb entrance. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's John, the one Jesus loved. She told them, "They had removed the Lord from the tomb, and I don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple, that's John, headed for the tomb. The two of them were running side by side, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. So it's always a chuckle to me that John makes a point that they were running side by side, but then I outrun Peter and got to the tomb first. He bent over and looked inside the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, but he didn't go inside. Simon Peter arrived after him and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there. He also saw the cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't laying with the strips of linen, but it was rolled up separately. Then the other disciple, that's John, who arrived at the tomb first, went inside. He saw and believed. That's the end. So, practically speaking, John is the first believer in the resurrection. So, I have a picture on my PowerPoint. When I was in Jerusalem, there are some evangelicals that purchased a piece of land very near Golgotha, where Christ was sacrificed, that has a tomb cut into the side of this stone wall hill. And they have a round stone that's sitting there that used to be across the entrance of the tomb. And then when you go in the tomb, there is an actual, it kind of looks like a bed frame, cut out of the stone where the dead people would be placed. But there isn't anybody there because Jesus rose from the dead. So our outline, spring feast, first fruit, second one, Yeshua, the one stalk of grain. Third point, our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 22, read like this. The truth is that Christ has been raised from the dead and become the first fruits of them that had slept, as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised. So Paul was saying Jesus became the first fruits. It goes on to say, for just as death came by means of a man, in Adam all die, in the same way the rising from the dead comes by means of a man. For just as all people die because of the union with Adam, in the same way all will be raised to life because of their union with Christ. That's the end. So it's very simple. Adam sinned and caused a problem. Jesus never sinned and resolved the problem. A on your outline, all people die because of their union with Adam. All people die because of their union with Adam. Union with Adam are your three blanks. Everybody dies that was born in Adam. They will have a natural death because of the consequences of sin. But Jesus was not born in Adam. Jesus was baptized into Adam. When I explained to you about his baptism on the Jordan River, he was not born in Adam, but he was baptized into Adam in the Jordan. B on your outline. In the same way, all will be raised to life because of their union with Christ. In the same way, all will be raised to life because of their union with Christ. Union with Christ are your three blanks. Putting our faith in Jesus, we are born again into Christ. Then we are baptized into Christ. What do I do with these facts? First, will I believe Yeshua Jesus was the one who died on the cross for me? Will I believe that Jesus' death on the cross was for me? Next, will I believe Yeshua Jesus was the one who was raised from the dead for me? Will you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead for you? Is Yeshua Jesus the Savior? Is he the Savior? Is Yeshua Jesus my Savior? There's a big difference between saying, oh yeah, I can see where Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that's different from he is my personal Savior. See on your outline, can you see and understand resurrection must be applied to your life? Can you see and understand that resurrection must be applied to your life? And your life are the two blanks. Jesus wants to give you his life. That's the truth. He wants to give you his resurrection life. But one must receive his gift. He's too much of a gentleman to force his way on in anyone. So you must open and receive his gift of resurrection life. So here's my conclusions. Have you accepted his resurrection for yourself? Have you made that decision and accepted his resurrection for yourself? If not, will you do that today? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your willingness to create these feasts and festivals so that we can clearly see what you plan to do and what you have fulfilled already. So we celebrate today the fulfillment of your Son Jesus being our Passover lamb, being our unleavened bread, our sinless death, and the first fruits, his life offered on behalf of all of us, so that we can get to Pentecost and receive your Holy Spirit and become a living, breathing, functional member of your body. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No.